Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, partners with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our gifted and talented guest speaker, which I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, he's going to, edit me later, maybe, Dr. Geron Kranjenbrink. Then he has a PhD in industrial management, teaches at University of Amsterdam, and is co-founder of Strategy Inc. He has helped significantly improve the strategic planning of many organizations across the engineering, manufacturing, healthcare, and financial services industries. He is an accomplished strategy educator, mentor, author, and consultant with over two decades of academic and industry experience. He empowers people and organizations to design, formulate, and execute their strategies by providing innovative tools for forward-thinking strategy and personal and organizational development. Drawing from cognitive psychology, humanism, martial arts, Saint Benedict, and a wide range of other sources, he has written innumerable articles on strategy, sustainability, and leadership, as well as authored five books, which are Strategy Consulting, No More Bananas, Unlearning Strategy, The Strategy Handbook, and The 1 Hour Strategy. He is also a contributor to the Forbes and is a LinkedIn influencer where he writes about strategy and leadership. I personally am so fascinated by his leadership visual posts in a formulated summaries and a diagram format that makes everything easy to learn and remember within my 30 seconds of attention span for social media. Also, as someone with pathology background, I always love to see everything colorful and in details like it's under microscope. And that is what has drawn me to Geron and his work at first place besides his soulful strategy in leadership. Being that said, Geron, thank you so much for being here today and let me know how to pronounce your last name.
Thank you for this wonderful introduction. And indeed, I think the most important question I would get, how do you pronounce your name? Yeah. If you do it in Dutch, because it's a Dutch name, it's Geron Kranjenbrink.
Okay.
And for those who want to practice, on my website, it's on the frequently asked questions, and also on my LinkedIn, if you click next to my name, there's an icon, a speaker icon, where you can also hear it.
That's wonderful. So as always, you make everything easy for us. Let us know, Geron, that how do you like the world to know you?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. Part of it is what you just read. So my bio, I think that's kind of professionally what I do. But beyond that, what I'd like people to see in everything I do is, I think part of it is that I know what I'm talking about, that I'm an expert in the topics I write about and I talk about. But beyond that, I think that I'm an open-minded, kind and helpful person. That's what I try to be in my consulting, my mentoring, my teaching, and also in my writing and presence on LinkedIn.
Thank you so much. And you are indeed a kindful and helpful person. You know, as I mentioned, you know, people that I do podcasts, I usually have worked with them or have a history with them. And I reach out to you without even having any background, you know, together. But I'm glad that this can be, the starting of a working and friendship relationship. And you accepted our invitation to be here in our podcast and contribute to our cause, which I'm very grateful for that. You have a unique way of transforming what we call it a strategic leadership to a soulful strategy, which is another reason I fell in love with your work after my NDE narrated experience. I'm so much into our soul journey and our evolution and our purpose and calling in this world. So being that said, what is soulful strategy and what it means to you and why do you think it's needed?
Yeah, so this is, I've only started to use this term quite recently. basically reflecting on what I've been doing over the past few years, or even a bit more than a few years. And I try to find a common thread in my approach to strategy, the way I work with people, the way I work with organizations, and also what I think is missing in a lot of strategy work, and in maybe not so much in leadership, but especially in strategy. And that is very much the human side of business, the human side of organizations, the human side of strategy. And when we talk about the human side, it means we follow a whole person approach, which is not just our rational left brain self, which can make calculations and analysis and plans, but it's our full self, which includes our creative part, our right brain. It includes our emotions, our ethics, our moral, our body, so completely as a person. And what I try to capture with soulful strategy is largely that, is really to make strategy something that has soul, that has depth, that has meaning, that pays a lot of attention to the social side of strategy, that pays a lot of attention to inspiration, that motivates people, that drives people, that is inclusive, that is following a whole person approach, and that makes a difference to this world.
Yeah.
And to add, you ask why it's needed. For me, it's obvious for several reasons. One is the problems that we see in strategy and execution. I think a large extent they are caused by a not so soulful approach, by a too rational, too cold, too analytical approach. But also because challenges in organizations. So we have the great resignation, people leaving, hard to get and retain people because they don't want to work for a company that is cold, that is just cold and rational. They want to work for a soulful organization. But also, if you look at climate in other, let's say, global matters, we need highly aware, soulful people thinking about how can we create really better organizations.
Yeah, I see what you mean, you know, that inspirational leadership is an important part of the human-centric leadership. So we actually had last year during the pandemic a white paper with Institute of Coaching calling the human leadership, you know, and the paper is out there also on Institute of Coaching. And this is very important for all of us to pay attention to how we all are soul particles. I know that by the experience that I had, you know, did my near-death experience, that we all are one giant soul, and the soulful strategy mm-hmm. really resonate to me that leaders are important part of this giant soul, you know, to lead other particles, you know, with them toward a one connected and common goal. What is the definition of a competent leader to you and how it relates to your work?
Yeah, there's a lot of people writing and talking about leadership. And let me start with, there's a lot of, I think, not so relevant discussion going on, especially the discussion like what is a leader, what is a manager, what is a boss, and what are the differences? For me, they're all the same. Whether you call it a boss, a manager, a leader, it's all the same. Those are just names.
Mm-hmm.
What I think what a lot of people are talking about is the distinction between good and bad leaders. And then the bad leaders, they call bosses and managers, and the good leaders, they call leaders. But they're all leaders. Mm-hmm. As soon as you work with a group of people, are responsible for like a collective outcome with a group of people, you have to be a leader. And whether that's two people, whether it's 2,000 people, doesn't really matter. You have to work with people. And for me, the competences you need as a leader, I don't have a crystal clear list, but in general, what they need to do, I think, is be extremely good in dealing with different dilemmas. It's one of those posts that I wrote a couple of weeks ago when we were recording this, is 15 dilemmas of leadership, basically
yeah.
showing that leadership is a challenge by always navigating between one side and the other. For instance, on the one hand, you want to be very coaching and serving and helping your people. But at another point in time, you also have to be directive and make decisions. And the challenge as a leader is that you need to have both skills and know when to apply which. So they, for instance, they also say no leaders are the ones that initiate change and managers are the ones managing the status quo. That's nonsense. As a leader in any position, at some time you need to initiate change. At other times, you need to maintain the status quo. So it's always about finding a balance, dealing with these dilemmas or paradoxes or tensions, whatever you name them, and doing that in a smart or even a wise way, knowing when to apply which side of these dilemmas, and then you are a truly competent leader.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. And as you mentioned, we all are leaders. Even as a parent, we are a leader. I mean, wherever and whenever you are working with
Certainly.
people, including yourself, so we can call it a leader. We are leading ourselves in some ways as well. And being that said, how does your work, you think, can be delivered to coaching or leadership, for example, in healthcare or education system or any other organization?
Yeah, maybe start with the generic, how it can be delivered. That's I think what I currently try to do is on the one hand, I do one thing, which is strategy and leadership, or strategic leadership. On the other hand, I try to do that in many different ways. So part of it is consulting, so really helping organizations develop and implement strategy. Another role is mentoring or coaching, which is more helping people individually to do that. Another thing I do is training, really kind of helping people to develop a competence. And I think when you work, and whether that is in healthcare or in education or in any other organization, it's about combining these different roles. For me, there is of course some difference between the consulting, the mentoring, and the training that I do, but they are also quite similar because I think when you are working as a consultant, it's what I would call developmental consulting. You're not just there to give the answers, or you're not even there to give the answers. You're there to help the organization come to the answers themselves. And even stronger than that, you're there to help them do that themselves in the future so that they develop the competence to develop and implement strategy themselves. So that's for me the generic way of delivering, let's say, getting my expertise, my experience across in basically helping teaching them. In the end, it's teaching how to do this, sometimes literally by telling people, sometimes more learning by doing when you work with them. And if you look in specifically in healthcare and education, I've worked for a long time in education. That's my first career was in academia. So I've worked at the university for a very long time. Healthcare, I've done some teaching in healthcare MBA programs and worked with some clients in healthcare. So I know a little bit about the specifics. But the interesting thing is then when I work with those organizations, it's not really different from a commercial company. From a software company, a hardware company, a manufacturer, an engineering, a bank, an accounting. So I work across industries. And I think the main difference is the language used and the initial thoughts that people have about a topic like strategy. Like in business, it's kind of a default. People know strategy is there, we need it because that's where the whole field of strategy has been developed for commercial businesses and especially large corporates. And healthcare and education, that is a little bit, people are less, maybe initially less open to that. They think it is very different. But in the end, it's very similar, in my experience, at least the way I work with them.
Yeah, I guess you read my mind, with the question that I wanted to ask you next about that. How do you see this is any different, the strategy, making a strategy between across the industry section or even the countries? So to me, it's just that you are helping them to find the soul of the organization. Just like, I mean, in the coaching practice that I do, I'm helping my client to get connected with their soul purpose. And that's why I call it conscious coaching, to get connected with their conscious and their soul purpose. And it seems to me that's what you are doing with the organization, to find their souls, and it's different from between the different organization, but at the same time it's the same work.
Yes, very much. And I've been maybe not surprised, but I think initially when I started this, my assumption was that there will be big differences between countries, between industries, between companies. And of course, there are. But if you look at what strategy is about, and so that's the content of what we're talking about, that's very similar. For me, strategy is your unique way of sustainable value creation. Every organization needs a unique way of sustainable value creation, and the elements of strategy that you need to realize that are also the same. The process is even also very similar. I've worked with, as I said, with companies across very different industries, and increasingly over the last couple of years, also internationally. From let's say Western US, Europe-based countries to Middle East and Asian organizations. And I do exactly the same with all of them. And that might be, or there might be a bias here that the people that reach out to me are a specific type of people because they can see what I do on LinkedIn. So they know what to expect and why they would ask me and why not. But I was kind of surprised that. Yeah, very similar, cross-cultural, cross regions. I just do the same thing and it works. There's nuance difference, but in general, it's always the same.
Yeah, because I mean, we consider organization as like a living, growing organization. It's not a just a dry a structure. So that's where the soulful, strategic leadership comes handy and makes a difference. So they get in touch with their values that are growing, and it's meaning something to that organization and the
Yeah, and we
people
are
who
all
are working.
people, and I think that's the commonality is that whether in whatever country it is, we're all people, and I think people have so many similarities in let's say in how they work, how they think, at least as far as the scope of my work goes, that you can do this very similarly.
So being that said, Geraint, so why failure rates in a strategy are so high then decade after decade?
Yeah, it's interesting that there is a lot of research on this, and there has been a lot of research on this over the past 3, 4 decades. And so we know what the problems are. And the interesting other thing is we also know what the solutions are. The fascinating thing is that we don't apply the solutions. And for me, it is the main reason is kind of a dogmatic belief in the traditional strategy approach that we find in the traditional textbook, which is very analytical, very much focusing on gathering data, on planning, which is very tool intensive. Like we have to use the SWOT, the BCG matrix, balance scorecard, Porter's five forces, D-STEP, and so on and so forth. And the split between those involved in the generation and the execution of strategy. Because traditionally, strategy is supposed to be something for the top of the organization and execution for the rest of the organization. Which is interesting because then we split strategy both in an organization, strategy and execution, both in an organization where the top formulates the strategy and the rest execute. And we split it in time where we, according to the traditional approach, first spend a lot of time on strategy development and then on implementation. So we do basically everything to split the two, and then we are surprised that there is so much failure, which is kind of fascinating if you really think about it.
Yeah, it is. So it's a kind of more like a teamwork. There is not a split work, right?
Yes. Yeah, and if you think about yourself, if you are highly influenced by a strategy, I think many people would like to know that early on and would have their in would have to give their input. And not everyone, but you would like to be informed and engaged in the process. And if you have, and even if you don't like, it is important that you are also giving your inputs, because everyone in an organization knows something, and no one knows everything. So the top knows something, but every function knows something, and people at the work floor know something, and all together, you know what's needed to develop and implement a proper strategy.
Yeah, it just reminds me of a great conversation that I had with Dr. Jeffrey Hall from Institute of Coaching regarding the alpha and beta leadership models and how, the being flexible and leading, from 360 degree, in the organization is always helpful for, achieving the best result and the peak performance of that organizations. And who do you think should be involved in the strategy making and why, for example, in healthcare?
In general, not so much everyone, but a good representation of the entire organization. That's at least what I try to do with my clients, is find a group of people, and I usually work with a group of between 8 and 13, 14 people. I find that a nice size of a group, small enough to still work as a team, or that I can work with in some sessions, and large enough to have enough variety and different perspectives.
I see.
So, and that means, of course, people from the top of the organization, but also managers, let's say mid-level managers, and even some people just employees that have no formal leadership position. But for instance, very talented employees, or employees that have worked there for 4 decades and know the company inside out because of their very long experience. And then a variety of functions. So I always want some, like a financial person, marketing, purchasing, production. So in healthcare, because you were asking specifically about healthcare, that would be also like academic staff. So some doctors, some nurses, but also support staff. And probably if you look, and now I'm referring implicitly to a hospital. And of course, when you develop a strategy for a hospital as a whole, you can't just involve everyone. That's too
Yeah,
much.
exactly. Yeah.
But we also need to be aware, I think, that the main level of strategy that I think is most important is business level strategy. So we have corporate level strategy. That's the level of high level ambitions, goals, and so on. Business level strategy is where we talk about customers, products, services, competences, revenues, risks, costs, all of that. So that's really the heart of every organization. And if we talk about a hospital, we have different divisions, different departments, all with their specific, unique type of patients, specific services, specific competences. So it makes much more sense to develop, as I spend most of your time and money and strategy making at that level. And at that level, you want to have all functions for that division, department, you want to have involved in the strategizing.
Yeah, and I'm just curious, so where does then soulful strategies landing in the corporate or business, level of strategy making?
What do you mean with landing?
I mean, where does the soulful strategy planning that connected with the values that we are talking about as a whole, person or whole organization, which part is related more to? Is it related to the corporate level or to the business
All
level?
levels, all levels. And I think
All of
it's more the overall, philosophy, I almost want to say, but philosophy, not with a capital, with a small p. It's the overall idea, and that you and the mindset. It's basically the way you think about strategy and the way you approach strategy. And whether that's at the corporate level or at the business level or the functional level, I think we need it everywhere. Maybe it seems more logical at the functional and the business level at first sight, and less intuitive at the corporate level. But I think it's equally, maybe even more important at the corporate level, because currently most corporate level strategy is probably the most soulless strategy, where it's really about the numbers and the financials and the hard objectives,
Yeah,
and far
exactly.
less about the, let's say, the human side of strategy.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, you read my mind. I wanted to point on that when we talk about the business, we are talking about the numbers and REI, ROI and REI, you know, and all of these. So I mean, person who's not that in much involved, you know, in the business management, had a hard time to relate that how we can apply a soul to the business. And the way you explain it was really helpful for me, that how it can be connected to the values that we have for that organization or ourselves.
I'm glad to
Thank you
hear.
so much. Thank you so much, Garen. So if there is anything else, you know, as your last word, you know, or I mean, recommendation for the leaders of any kind, you know, for our listeners, I think that's the space before we end our conversation.
Yeah, maybe one general remark, and it has some connection to the concept of soulful strategy, but also to my general approach to strategy, is much more an inside-out approach. So what I try to do with organizations, but also with the people I mentor, is look inside, look at who you are, look at what you're good at, what are your competences, and use that as your primary basis for your strategy, and not look too much outside at all the trends, at all the uncertainties, at all the complexities, and all the changes, because that does not give you a clear foundation, because it's too much, and it's too much changing, it's too creating too much uncertainty. So generally, I think what we need more in this world is people more looking inside themselves for some wisdom and advice, and trust their gut feel, trust their intuition, trust how they feel, and really use that as a basis for what they do, rather than looking at everyone else and following the news and being getting anxious because of everything that happens around you. So look inside for your next step. Maybe that's the best advice that I can give to end with.
Thank you so much. That really resonated with me, and I hope with our listeners as well. As you mentioned, we all have the answers, and the answers are within. So we can find the rest with connecting, you know, with the truth and in the facts and our consciousness. And being that said, I really appreciate, you know, I'm grateful for your presence here today and accepting our invitation and your contribution to our podcast. And I invite our listeners to go and check all your, you know, visuals, formulated posts on the leaderships, you know, very interesting. And I mean, very good for anyone to read and know about. And being that said, at the end, how people can read and know more about you, I mean, except your LinkedIn post.
Yeah, I think the first thing is get the spelling of my name right. And once you
Yeah.
have that right, wherever you search, whatever you find is mine, because there is no one else with exactly the same name. But that said, I have my website is jeroenkraaienbrink.com, so first name, last name.com. Strategy.inc would be another place, and indeed LinkedIn. Or if you like to have a look at my books, query my name on Amazon or any other bookseller, you find my book pages there as well.
Thank you so much. There is no doubt that you are unique in many ways. I mean, starting from your name, you know, to all you are contributing to the world and the work of leadership. Thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Goodbye to our listeners. And remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.